I'd like to share a story with you. There was once a high school sophomore named Ada. Ada was raised going to church. She would pray with her family before meals, and she would bow her head during worship and pray. Often before falling asleep, she would stare up at the ceiling and ask God to heal her ailing grandfather, help her get good grades in school, and send a nice and attractive boy to be her boyfriend. Throughout the next few years, she had a couple boyfriends, got a 4.0 GPA, and her father always rebounded after an illness. Ada got accepted to a good college. Her freshman year, she was really busy taking some tough classes and getting involved in the social scene. She would usually fall right asleep studying or get home late on the weekends, but she still prayed a couple times a week and went to church when she was home. One Thursday morning, she woke up and was horrified to realize that she had fallen asleep while studying for her exam and was completely unprepared. As she ran out of her dorm and up the hill to her class, she remembered a phrase her mother had always used, the power of prayer. She desperately asked God to help her with her exam. During the test, Ada was panicking. She didn't even recognize some of the words in the questions, let alone have any idea what the answer was. She waited for some divine inspiration, but when time ran out, Ada had to hand in a half-blank exam. On her way back to her dorm, she saw a text from her dad on her phone. When she called him back, she came to a stunned stop on the sidewalk when she heard that her grandfather had died that morning. Without really thinking much about it, prayer was no longer a part of Ada's life. 6 years later, Ada was working in a small but growing business. Ada was in charge of training new employees. One of them stood out. Her name was Abby. Abby was quiet but insightful, respectful, and seemed to be well-liked by the people around the office. One afternoon, Ada and Abby were sent out to have lunch with some of the company's clients. On the car ride home, Ada and Abby got to talking. As the conversation went on, Ada found out that Abby went to a church nearby that was well known for its involvement with the homeless and jobless in the community. As they talked, Ada could almost hear another voice besides Abby's that was speaking to her heart. She mentioned this to Abby, and Abby encouraged her to spend some time in silence later on and ask God to speak. Ada was a little skeptical, but was surprised when she realized how long it had been since she had prayed. So that night, she just sat quietly. Nothing seemed to be happening. Finally, Ada sighed, God, if you're there, just let me know. A few weeks later, Ada drove by a festival for homeless youth in her neighborhood. She was surprised at how moved she was by the scene. That Sunday morning, she felt a strange curiosity about Abby's church. She decided she would go, and if she could find where Abby was sitting, she would stay. She spotted Abby and sat down. Mostly she just listened as the people sang and prayed. There were some awkward silences that seemed like people might be praying, but Ada wasn't quite sure what was going on. Still, she listened as the pastor preached on a passage about Jesus' love for the poor. Again, she felt that odd tug on her heart. That night she found the Bible passage and read it again and again. Every time she read it, it seemed to get louder and louder. Okay, God, she said, what does this mean? A couple weeks later, Abby invited her to come with her to a community event for the unemployed. Ada couldn't help but think maybe this was God's way of answering her prayer. That day, she was completely energized by the event. She and Abby went to dinner afterward and talked more. As Abby told her story, Ada could feel that God had a story for her as well. Ada became a regular at the church, even joining Abby in a small group. Even after church and small group, Ada found herself with her nose in her Bible, devouring the scriptures that had been discussed. Sometimes she would read a phrase and be taken aback at the feeling that God was speaking directly to her. She began praying again, but it was all different. Now it seemed like the second after she said amen, she was back into conversation with God about how God might be calling her to serve others. Even at work, she began noticing opportunities to bless people. If a coworker seemed down, Ada would ask God how she could serve them or maybe just listen. Sometimes it felt like God was even a part of her meetings with her boss. It felt like God would give her inspiration for how to bless the company and how to use the company's prosperity to give back to the community. Sometimes she found that God wanted her to be the answer of her own prayers. Sometimes she would go weeks before seeing or hearing any response. And sometimes she was completely surprised to see how God had taken her prayers and turned them into something better. One night, as she spoke with her dad on the phone, she realized that it was the anniversary of her grandfather's passing. She thought back to that day and then to her young faith. Ada couldn't help but give thanks for the ongoing conversation with God that she now experienced. Most of our prayer lives are like Ada's prayer life at the beginning of the story. They are a series of isolated spiritual events within an environment of self-interest. We bow our heads and we close our eyes and we jump into a spiritual event and ask for what we wish for. And when we say amen, we jump back out to pursue our own interests. Jesus in John 15 tells us that the ecosystem for fruitful prayer is a whole life relationship with God. Looking at verse 7 today, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I think most people really listen to the second part. Sounds really good. Ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And I've even heard people say that they disproved Christianity and the Bible because they said it's a simple experiment. Jesus says, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And they say, well, I asked for what I wish and I didn't get it. So therefore, Jesus is a liar and the Bible is useless. But friends, that is not what the Bible nor Jesus say. When we focus on the second part of verse 7, we miss what Jesus is really talking about, because the instruction that Jesus gives us isn't so much about prayer, isn't so much about how to pray, as much as it is about the ecology of prayer, the environment in which fruitful prayer happens. Let's just look, first of all, at the phrase, whatever we wish. He says, ask for whatever you wish. Now, I wish that were translated a little differently. Because that word for wish in the New Testament is almost every other time a word that implies a will, God's will, or God's desire, or our intent. Wish kind of seems like a frivolous thing. That's how most of us pray. We have wishes that we send up to God, but that's not really what the word is. We say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that's that same word. It's about our desire. Ask for what you desire, and it will be done for you. Now, I want you to think about the desires of a person who is living out verse 7. The desires of a person who is abiding in Christ, and in whom the words of Christ are abiding. What are that person's desires? The person who is abiding in Christ and in whom Christ's words are abiding, that person desires the kinds of things that God yearns to give. The kind of person who is abiding in Christ and in whom Christ's words are abiding is not desiring frivolous things. They are desiring that God's kingdom would come and God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. The environment for fruitful prayer is a life that is aligned with the purposes of God. Put it this way. You need the Spirit of Christ to reform, reshape, and restore your heart and mind before you are ready to handle the promise that whatever you wish will be given to you. We, every day, most of us, participate with and use an extremely powerful machine. Our cars, and our trucks. How many of you have a truck, like a pickup truck? What's the horsepower on it? You guys know? Anyway, point is, we operate... Thanks, guys. Way to come through for me here. We operate machines that have the power of multiple horses, right? We don't just let anyone operate that machine, do we? We make sure those people, well, sometimes it seems like we do, but we don't. People have to take classes. People have to learn the rules and instructions for operating a vehicle. People have to drive in cars with someone else who is by their side guiding them and teaching them and correcting them, and they have a brake if need be. Right? This is the kind of training that we require to operate a powerful machine. If we are going to operate something as powerful as the promise that Jesus makes in the second part of verse 7, we must be trained and guided and shaped by the God who has the power to fulfill that promise. I think most people, and even probably most Christians, see prayer as kind of an outside shot at getting God to bring about our desires for the world. And sometimes God does respond to our prayers. I don't mean to knock that. But we want God's power to enter our ecosystem, our environment of desires and goals and intentions and preferences. But Jesus' ecology for prayer is a life that desires to be shaped by God more than to have God shaped by me. That's the environment. We are drawn into the environment of God rather than just bringing God into our environment. Prayer is the ongoing conversation that holds together and moves amidst lives of God-glorifying worship and life-transforming discipleship and world-blessing mission. Prayer moves and works its way, and that's what my attempt to illustrate in Ada's second bout with prayer. That it was this conversation that worked through mission and discipleship growth and worship, and all of these things combine to create fruitful prayer. Prayers that are answered. Prayers that we know God, when we know God has heard us. And prayer, this kind of prayer, is the foundational expression on our part of the gospel. Because the gospel is that God desires to be with us. And he shows us that desire in the incarnation by coming to dwell with us in Jesus. And he accomplishes that desire by dying on the cross to break down the barrier of sin that kept us from being with God. And God secures that desire to be with us by sending his Spirit to dwell inside of us, grow Jesus' resurrection life within us. And all of these realities are accessed by prayer. Prayer is our participation in that dream of God to be with us and to dwell with us in his love for us. Prayer is our access to the power of God that is reshaping and transforming this world for good and by love. May prayer never be for us anything less than that. If we want to see God move in our lives, if we want God to answer our prayers, if we want to see God move in this church, we must be praying, but we must be praying in the ecology of a deep relationship with God, where we are in the scriptures and hearing God's words spoken to us and in community with God's people and growing and reaching out and responding. When God speaks to us, we better listen. This is prayer. This is the kind of prayer that Jesus offers to us. This is the kind of environment in which Jesus says your prayers will be answered. And they will be answered in astronomical ways. Let's pray like that, but even more, let's live like that. Let's pray. Almighty and all-loving God, Lord, who among us could fathom the magnitude of your power? And what in our experience could approach the vastness of your love? Lord, it's intimidating for us to even think of entering into those realities of you. And so forgive us for being hesitant and for praying small prayers and for living lives that are at arm's length from you. We just take a couple moments silently to approach you boldly and humbly and ask for you to give us these kinds of lives that go beyond and transcend the daily existence that so many of us have settled for. Almighty God, if we trust you enough, we pray that you would abide in us, that you would set up shop in our hearts, that you would transform our minds to desire what you desire, to love what you love, to act as you act. Give us the courage to follow that desire through, even when it's hard and might be frightening. Lord God, listen to the desires of our hearts. And respond according to your grace. But more importantly, shape our hearts by your desires and your dreams. Help us to be a community that does not just have certain times designated for prayer, but a community in which prayer weaves its way through all of the ways that you are working and moving and compelling us and blessing us and blessing the world through us. Give each one of us an awareness not just of when and how we speak to you, but of when and how you speak to us. That we would listen as much as we speak. And that we would respond just as we desire you to respond. Holy God, we lift all of these things for our community, for our church, for our neighbors, for our city and for our state and for our nation and for the entire world. We lift all of these things up to you. In the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.